What if? What if? This is the series that we have been on for the last couple of weeks. We've been asking a few questions and trying to get some answers when we ask the question, what if? The question for this week is, what if we do the extraordinary? Extraordinary. Extraordinary. Well, I wanted to show you something. In these boxes that we have at the front when you come, there is there's anointing oil and there's Kleenex, because sometimes when people come to the front to be prayed for, the Holy Spirit touches them and they begin to shed tears. Let me just tell you, if that ever happens, do not be ashamed. Oh, I'm crying. No, that's God at work in you, cleansing, purifying, showing you what he's doing. And maybe you've seen anointing oil before. Maybe you've had it applied when you've come to the front. It was used in the Old Testament to consecrate people and other godly items as set apart and as holy unto the Lord. And in the New Testament, it talks about using anointing oil to call for the sick and call for the elders, and we're going to pray for them in Jesus' name. That was what anointing oil has in the past and is presently being used for. So here's a question. What if God asked me to do the extraordinary? That means I got to step out of my comfort zone. Extraordinary? Well, how about just something simple, Lord, in the background? But what if God called me to do the extraordinary? Let's take it one step further. What if today God asked me to be willing to do the extraordinary for him? Would I be willing? What's your reaction? For some, you might be scared. Totally normal, we're human. For some, you might be anxious or ashamed. God, I've done too much bad in my life. You're not going to want to use me. For some, you might be immediately repentant. Lord, I've got some things I need to deal with, so I want to confess my sins before the Lord. But those are all good emotions. Would you say that maybe you're not ready yet, or you're not old enough? Would you give excuses? Well, let me see here. I'm going to be bold today. Who wants to do something extraordinary for the Lord? Can you raise your hand and keep it up? Okay, because I got a big challenge for you today. Oh, come on. You knew it was coming. What if today is the day that God asks you to be willing to do the extraordinary? Pastor Nicole, this is the beginning of the service. Like, what's it going to be like if you're starting off so hard on us now by the end? Well, I'm going to do it. Well, if today is the day that God has asked you to be willing to do the extraordinary for him, you put your hand up. I need you to stand up. Come on, you got to put your money where your mouth is. And maybe you didn't put your hand up the first time, but you still feel that maybe, you know what, maybe I need to be considered. Maybe, yeah, you can still stand. God empowers and strengthens and supports when you need it most. I mean, it is the work of God in you that turns the world around to ignite hope to all people. So if you want to go for it, because we heard today that God put you here not by chance, but he gave you a purpose. Yes, I want to do the extraordinary for God. So I'm going to ask you to do something. Will you come and just stand at the altar? Step out of your seats and stand at the altar. and just face me. For some of you, this is really weird. This is supposed to happen at the end of the service. When I told Pastor Wes, he said, you're doing it at the beginning? Oh, okay. I'm going to ask Pastor Les and Gail, and we might need a few more people. Maybe Eileen and let's see who's over here. Who could? Bonnie could. Where's Steve? Steve, could you grab an anointing oil? Grab the anointing oil. I want you to find every person, the four of you, and you're going to. Oh, thank you. I want you to anoint their forehead in the shape of a cross. Okay? We want this to be a symbol that you want to be set apart as unto the Lord. Now, if you're up here, we're going to take this through slowly. If you're up here, go ahead and anoint with oil. If you're up here, I want you to close your eyes, no looking around, and I want you to start talking to God. And if there's sin that you need to confess, confess it now. If there's things in your life that aren't quite right, get it right with God. Take these few moments while we're anointing with oil. Take these few moments to just make sure everything's right between the Lord and you. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit, is there anything I need to get right first? And as they do that, there's some prayer team workers up here. There's some prayer team that's going to come. And you know what? Honestly, thank you, Jesus, for my... I didn't think this many would come. Bless the Lord. So I'm going to ask that the prayer team come and find a couple of people and gather around them. I don't want you to lay hands on them. I just right now want you to find a couple people so that everyone has someone to be prayed with. I don't want you to start praying with them. I'm going to give a few instructions. Just let me know when everyone has been anointed. I think Bonnie's got a few more people. If you need to come a little closer, come a little closer. We got a few people in the aisle still. Bless the Lord. Okay. People at the front, if you're an extraordinary person, that's what I'm going to call you today. So close your eyes. If you feel comfortable, raise your hands. It's just a sign of surrender. And it's just saying, yeah, God, I'm this is real for me. No looking around. Some people might start to cry. It's okay. Some people might start to speak with their spiritual language. It's okay. Bless the Lord. And I purposely did this without music because I don't want you to feel that this is something that I'm trying to get you to. This is God. Okay, if you're up here, prayer team, I want you just to start praying in your prayer language. Don't lay your hands on. Just pray in your prayer language for these people. And church, now it's your turn. No looking around. I want you closing your eyes. If you want to stand up and put your hands towards these people to bless them, to pray for them. We want the Lord to hear our prayers this morning. You want to pray for them? Pray for them by name. Ask the Lord to come and bless them to do the work that God is calling them to do. I want you to begin to praise the name of the Lord. I want you to raise your voices. And we want to begin to pray and intercede on their behalf that they will indeed go and do the extraordinary when God calls them to do so. We're choosing to call upon the name of the Lord today. We can do nothing without you, oh God. You are right here. Hallelujah. Practice your spiritual language. Maybe it's been a long time where you haven't talked to the Lord.
Bless the Lord. This is a language that God has gifted you with. So speak it out. Speak it out.
Bless your name. Yes. Okay. Extraordinary person. I'm going to say a sentence, and then I want you to repeat it after me. And you say it with gusto. You say it with your way of saying it. This is what I want you to say. God, I want you to make me a person who does the extraordinary. Amen. All right, now prayer team, we're going to go and we're going to lay our hands. And we're going to say, God, please allow, and then whatever their name is, God, please allow Gail to do the extraordinary for you. Amen. God, please allow Brian to do the extraordinary for you. Amen. So prayer team, just begin to circulate and start laying your hands. We are commissioning these people to be extraordinary for you. And don't just wait on one person. Go to all of them. We have a lot of people here that need the hand of the anointing of God upon them. And he does that through us. So church, keep praying. We need you to pray for these people. They're going to go out. They're going to lovingly go and make disciples. They are going to do the extraordinary for you. We thank you, Jesus. We bless your name. Holy God, holy God, holy. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, do the extraordinary. In Jesus' name, go to the places where I cannot go. Oh, touch these people, oh Father. Help them to do your work, oh God, to be used by you. Oh, karabakosha korabakaya, to speak to the people that you would have them speak to, oh God. Watch over them. Ignite their hearts, oh God. Fill them up, oh God. Oh, karabi yalla mandari yarabara. For you, Jesus, for your glory, for your honor, for your blessing, for you, Jesus. Not for my name's sake, but for you, oh God. In their workplace, oh God. In their homes, oh God. Help them to be vessels of honor, vessels who love you. Bless those who will praise your name and bless your name and be used by God at every turn in Jesus' name. That they will go to countries that we cannot go to. That they will go to places where I cannot go to. Jesus, that they will be used to speak to their neighbors. That they will be used, oh God, to talk to people, to talk to the unlovely in Jesus' name. And you will do a new thing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, a new thing. Your namesake. For your blessing, oh God. Extraordinary people, call on the name of the Lord. Call on the name of the Lord. Oh, this is for your time, for your glory, for your purposes, oh God. It is for your honor. Oh, God, la 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 la. We bless your name. We bless your name. Oh, Koya, Jesus. He's calling you to a deeper walk with him. He's calling you to go forth. Oh, new places. Ask the Lord for your instructions. Oh, Jesus. You have never left us. You have never forsaken us. You have always been right beside us. For some, I want you just to listen for God's voice, because it might be the first time that you've heard him. He is so willing to speak to you. So willing to be used, to be flowing in you. Yes. Yes.
Yes. That courage to follow you.
Hallelujah.
Live in you. Live in us. Teach us the mysteries of heaven.
Yes.
Holy Spirit, stir our spirit. All this time you've been teaching me. I knew that you were moving forward.
Yes. Amen. 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 Thank you, sister, for praying. That's what's on our hearts. That's the guts of it, right? So extraordinary people, God is anointing you to go to do the work of the Lord. Hear this today. He is calling to you, so listen when he speaks. Amen. We're hearing an exhortation, an encouragement. You know what? Today, or maybe even already, has happened, church. Some may have seen visions or a dream of what God is calling that question. Today, God asked me to be willing to do the extraordinary. Maybe I already know what it is. Well, know what? You're now anointed to go and do it. Maybe I've seen that dream, but I just don't know how it's going to be accomplished. Well, you know what? Keep listening for his voice, reading your word, because he's going to show you how to do it. The plans to prosper you, the plans he's going to give you. He's going to open those opportunities for you to speak to your neighbor when they need it most. He's going to give you a word in season when you need it the most. When someone is crying and maybe they're dying and you're at their bedside, God will enable you and equip you. You need to believe that. You are called for a purpose, a season, and a time. Let us love one another, for love comes from God. I love you, church. Let's thank Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for this time. Thank you, Jesus, for these moments. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have opened our eyes again today. You've reminded us that you love us so much.
that you care for what we care for, that your heart breaks when our heart breaks. Jesus, help us to go. Help us to not be fearful. Help us not to be scared. Help us not to be anxious. Help us to do your work at the exact time that you call. Thank you, Lord, most of all for your presence. Thank you, Lord, that now we know we are truly set apart and we now are commissioned to go. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know what? You need to love on somebody right now. Just love on their neck. Give them a hug. If you can, say bless you in Jesus' name. Shake their hand. This is good. This is something that God loves and something that God wants. Okay, extraordinary people, go out there right now and start. This is another 3-minute meet and greet. Go back to your seats if you can. Church, if we are willing to come forward to an altar at the beginning of a service, there are good things in store for us. If we're willing to sit and pray for other people as they come up, then good things are in store for us. Amen? Amen. I just thank you, Lord. Okay, now I gotta preach. I'm preaching from a chapter of the Bible that God put on my heart many, many years ago when he was calling me to an important change. And when Pastor Wes had said that he wanted to preach specifically on this chapter in the series, I was like, can I please? Part of me thought, it's going to be so easy because I've done lots of study on it, right? But the other part was just like, God, I know you're in it. When he was calling me to this important change, this was over 20 years ago, and it changed my job. I got married. I moved across the country away from everyone in my family. We made a new life here. I had a new start. I didn't have a ministry, but eventually I did get back into ministry. I met new people. So if you're up for it, can you turn to Isaiah chapter 54? Isaiah is a writing prophet. He wrote what he spoke. He wanted to cultivate faith and obedience in lives for God. And God used Isaiah to help separate the Israelites from the cultures in which they lived, putting them back on the right path every time, which was apart from the world. He wanted them to know the difference from the ways of the world and the ways of God. Can you stand with me as we read? Isaiah chapter 54, verses 1 to 4. I'm reading from the NIV. Sing, barren woman, you who never bore a child, burst into song. Shout for joy, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Can everybody read with me? Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Do not be afraid. You will not be put to shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. You may have a seat. So if you came up to be prayed for as an extraordinary person, then you need to highlight these verses, especially verses 2 to 4 in your Bible.
I always encourage people to write in their Bible. Some people don't like to, but as you can tell, I need to get a new preaching Bible because this one's been duct taped and there's lots of notes, and I always have a pen in my Bible. So that's a good thing for you guys to remember if you don't have one there. My sermon in a nutshell, 3 points. These verses are a command, so you better listen up. You need to move forward and move out in faith and obedience. And 3, you better lose your fear. Just go for it, because God's got you. 1, it's a command, so listen up. 2, move out in faith and obedience. And 3, lose your fear. God's got you. Let me see if I can give you a little bit more, though. Israel was described as being the wife of God's. He was for her a perfect husband, always giving generously everything she had need of. Oh, isn't that awesome? I love how they describe the husband and wife relationship. Anyways, and she was to be for him the perfect wife, living faithfully to him. But what happens here is it says, 1, sing, O barren woman, you who did not bear. The image of a barren woman, it's hard to show a barren woman that, so someone who doesn't have, can't have a child. Well, but yet there's a little bit more to this in what Isaiah is describing Israel and all her failure. Israel's life as a nation was very bad. She constantly failed. She was unfaithful. She was adulterous towards God. She worshipped false gods at differing times. She made alliances with nations around her rather than worshipping and trusting God for safety and security. She looked other places rather than looking up to the one true God. And she rebelled against God, and God was done with it. If you were to look back in Isaiah 50, it talks where it says, you know, God says, that's it. You know, you're looking dirty, you're looking rough, you got no home, and you're just sitting there. There's no hope. See, Eastern women who were childless were looked down upon and despised. It's a bit of a desperate image. We've seen these people on our streets, haven't we? I don't want to look like that. I don't want to end up like that. There's a man, his name is Charles Spurgeon, and he wrote this quote in his commentary about some of these verses, and very interesting. If we are now sighing and crying because we are not what we ought to be or what we want to be, look what I've underlined, God can. Let me say that again. God can, in the richness of his grace, make us all that we desire. Therefore, let us begin to be joyful even before the miracle of mercy is wrought. Let us have unbounded faith in God and expect him to bless us even while we are in our lowest state. Isn't that what the cross did for us? In our lowest state, Jesus came. Can you begin to look up, friend? Can you begin to be joyful even before the miracle has come? It's hard. It requires patience. It requires endurance. But you know what? Extraordinary people. That's what we prayed for. We prayed that God would make us all that he desires. Yes, there is hope in Jesus. He has said he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And yet now we read in Isaiah 54 that God wants to restart a relationship. In Isaiah 50, he was like, oh, I'm almost done with you. In Isaiah 54, he comes back. I want to have a home. I want to have a family with you. I want to pour out my blessing on Israel once more. But if you go back one chapter, Isaiah 53, it talks about the suffering servant. Who's our suffering servant? Jesus. He made the way possible for people to have a relationship again with God because of what would happen on the cross. And this is where the prophet Isaiah begins to announce that there will now be blessings. He lays out that there is a plan in place for the future for God's holy people. There's going to be salvation, There's going to be blessing of safety and peace. And Jerusalem's population, it's going to grow. So Isaiah 54 is calling for them to sing and to sing out because they're going to be restored. But he also wants them to sing out in faith because God is going to intervene on their behalf. Now, you're probably wondering why. Oh, it didn't go. Why do I have a tent? Why is there a tent on here? The verse says, enlarge the place of your, a little louder, enlarge the place of your tent. What does the tent have to do with me, Pastor Nicole? Well, I will confess something this morning. I am not a camper. Can I get an amen, Steve? Amen. Oh, other people, amen. I was just asking my husband. You know, I had to borrow this tent from a neighbor who has taken one of my daughters out with their children to do tenting and loves it. But that is just something we've had to explain to our kids that we just don't want to do. I know, really bad. But our camping in our household is what we say we prefer the Holiday Inn. Can I get a witness? Ah, hallelujah. Listen again. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. What are the key words? Enlarge, stretch, wide, do not hold back, lengthen, strengthen. The word is you will, like God can, you will dispossess and you will settle. Wow, that means our population is going to expand. Amen? There's going to be restoration. There's going to be multiplication happening. It's a time to celebrate. Matthew Henry, he's another man who does commentaries. Oh, I've gone ahead of myself. You're not supposed to see that, but oh well. Here we go. Observe the low state of religion in the world before Christianity was brought in. By preaching the gospel, multitudes were converted from idols to the living God. This is a matter of great rejoicing in the church. The bounds of the church were extended. Their tent pegs were larger. They were extended. They were strengthened. Though its state on earth is but mean and movable, like a tent or tabernacle, it is sometimes a growing state and must be enlarged as the family increases. What that means for us, you've heard me even say it this morning, is we have to lovingly go and make. You're going to hear Pastor West talk a little bit more about these words in the days to come. That's what God did for us. He made a way so that we now on earth can lovingly go, Great Commission, Matthew 28, and we can make disciples. Lovingly go and make. Meaning keep in the word, increase your faith, pray more. God is about to bless. If you've been praying for many years and you've been waiting for the church to increase, this is how you do it. You enlarge the place of your tent. You strengthen, you lengthen. The cords, the things that we need to be able, as Matthew Henry said, to be able to increase our family. Good things are in store. Verse 3 says that we will spread out to the right and to the left. And what this means that the returning exiles would spread to the north and to the south, and population would increase. It meant that they would go
and possessed the nations where there were regional tribes that had occupied the land. And it's going to become Israel's land. And they're going to settle there. And that's a promise. And verse 4 says, do not be afraid. Come on, people. We need this reminder in our life so many times, right? Almost daily. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. The Lord goes ahead of you. Do not be afraid. You will not be put to shame. Do not fear disgrace. You're not going to be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. This means peace is coming. You're no longer subject to oppression. You will not fear. You're not going to be put to shame. The Israelites were saying, whoa, what? This is extraordinary what we're hearing. The Egyptian bondage that you face? Nope, no longer. The exile in Babylon? No, no longer. These two catastrophes will be remembered no more, meaning that they will have no power over the people, so there is no reason to fear. Why? God's begun a new work in Christ, and he's called us as a holy nation to do his work here on earth. In the New Testament, 1 Peter 2, verse 5 to 10, and I said here, I've paraphrased it. Instead of reading all of the chapter, we're just going to condense it a little bit for time. You also are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Hallelujah. You, listen, you're a chosen people, you're a royal priesthood, you're a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Now, you are the people of God. Now, you have received mercy. So the message for us today is the same as the message for the returning exiles in Isaiah 54. As we live in righteousness before all people, they will see our good works and glorify the Father in heaven. God has begun a new work in Christ and calls us as priests and a holy nation to display the mercy and righteousness of God. Are you struggling? Are you hurting? Has it been a long time since that voice you've heard, that God's voice? Then the word is saying, believe and trust me. Believe in Jesus and trust him. These are great promises of blessings, of peace, safety, prosperity, victory, and it's held out to those who obediently walk in God's perfect will for their lives. These are our blessings. So, I would ask you again, what if God asked me to do the extraordinary? What if today God asked me to be willing to do the extraordinary for him? How would I respond? Let's pray. Lord, I want to respond to you at every turn. I want to love you. I want to do your bidding. I want to do your will. I want to listen for your voice. I want to be able to enlarge the place of my tent. I want to be able to sing out. I want to be used by you, God. And if today you called me to do the extraordinary for you, I want to be willing to do it. Father, I pray for the extraordinary people who came to this altar. You have overwhelmed us. Spirit of God, you've touched us today. You commissioned us today. Use us, Lord. Lord, could you please honor us? And may we hear testimonies on Sunday of great things. Great things that you have used our people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm thankful for Jesus today.
There may be somebody who who's here and they don't have a relationship with Jesus. You know what? That's okay. I would be happy to talk to you about what it means, what Jesus means to me. There are lots of people around this church as well. If you want to come talk to me in private afterwards, I would love to be able to pray that prayer with you so that you can have that same relationship that I have with Jesus. Because you know what? It means everything to me. It shapes me. It helps me. It guides me. Jesus loves me, and just knowing that helps me get through my day. So, Lord, I thank you for calling us to come to church today. I thank you for the blessing of church, for our church family. I thank you for the encouragement that we receive when we're together. And we just give all of this lesson to you today. Pray, Lord, we'd be able to kind of chew on it and think about it and dream with you, Lord, about where you want us to go, what you want us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.